Tonight marks the end of an era in Late Night as Stephen Colbert sheds his conservative persona and welcomes the Colbert Nation for the very last time.
Welcome to the Rapport, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us in here, out there, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the ships at sea, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Well, over the last 9 years, Stephen Colbert has redefined political satire on television and managed to educate almost as much as he entertained.
There is another approach you could try.
What other approach? What's that?
Well, there's something called a super PAC.
What's a super PAC? Is that like a PAC that got bitten by a radioactive lobbyist?
Stephen Colbert, following in the footsteps of Jon Stewart, changed the landscape of the media, oftentimes covering stories and highlighting gross hypocrisies or absurdities that traditional media outlets would miss or ignore. And a lot of times those hypocrisies and absurdities were the media themselves. To help us bid farewell to the Colbert Report, we're joined by Brooke Gladstone, host and managing editor of On the Media. Hi, Brooke.
Hi, Todd. I'm so sad.
I can see. I mean, you've got a sad face because the Colbert Nation is going away.
It's just that it was such a vital educational tool. You played tape about the super PAC. It's a very complicated, almost Byzantine structure that ultimately enables lobbyists to do pretty much anything they want with their money under the cover of darkness. And I don't think there has ever been such a sustained educational campaign week after week after week. You were even able to participate by sending money into Stephen Colbert's super PAC.
And it seems like getting ordinary people in rolled in this process, the absurdity of it, the inherent corruption of it, was only possible through participation. I mean, that's what made it so crazy, that a crazy comedian persona satirist could get one and siphon money into the process. Just do it.
That's right. He was able to take it to the absolute limit, as he has done with so many public educational displays that he has, using irony, using a kind of vicious sharpness.
That wasn't the only time he did it. You're right. He did it in the area of gay rights. He did it constantly in the area of religion, even though he's a religious person himself. Military affairs, veterans affairs. Brooke, you like this one cut from the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2006. I was in the room for this. Listen to Stephen Colbert.
My name is Stephen Colbert, and tonight it is my privilege to celebrate this president, because we're not so different, he and I. We both get it. Guys like us, we're not some brainiacs on the nerd patrol. We're not members of the Factinista. We go straight from the gut, right, sir? That's where the truth lies.
Playing his character right in the face of President George W. Bush.
That's right. And that's not even the iconic clip. Obviously, the one that everyone remembers is we all know that reality has a well-known liberal bias.
Right.
It was gutsy in the extreme, and it was thrilling to watch. But more than that, it just sort of demonstrated how fearless he was. And, you know, he had Henry Kissinger on his show. You know, he sang with Tony Bennett. He was a man so happy, who luxuriated in this character and proved what a lot of people said couldn't be done, which is that he could sustain it week after week, year after year after year, through 9 years, until basically it had run its course for him, not for the rest of us.
And that it is the sustenance of it that I want to latch on to, because he was fastidious about staying in character. I mean, Stephen Colbert, the person, gave very, very few interviews or appearances. He did some, but not many interviews or appearances as himself. I mean, his dedication to staying in character at all times as the Bill O'Reilly-esque faux conservative conservative nighttime primetime firebrand was almost complete.
Yeah, it was. There were a couple of times, again, when he did talk about it. In an interview with Tim Russert many years ago, Tim Russert said, was it hard to take off this character? And he goes, no. What we learned at Second City, the improvisational comedy troupe where he began, is that you have to take on your characters and doff them as lightly as a cap.
Well, I have a concern, Brooke Gladstone, which is that as Stephen Colbert, the person, does the character for the last time tonight, he's going to Late Night, you know, home of Jay Leno and Johnny Carson and Jimmy Fallon. It is a medium that certainly is good for laughs. But Stephen Colbert, he's kind of punk. He has something to say. Late Night is not the place for people really who have something to say. You can do funny, but I'm not sure the Late Night audience really wants to hear somebody who has something to say. Are we going to lose something fundamental here?
Well, we are going to lose his character, a character that caused confusion among the right, who thought perhaps he was a stealth advocate, as they did Carol O'Connor during the Archie Bunker era. It wasn't clear for some people. And also a great opportunity for education. But I don't think he is going to fall into that mold any more than John Oliver on HBO has fallen into that mold. I am hoping he'll create something new, and it won't just be a monologue in a cooking segment in a movie star.
And do you think that network television, in this case CBS, can abide maybe a different kind of late night host? I mean, you hear me pining for Stephen Colbert, the character, to be on late night on a network. That's not going to happen. I think I need to get over that notion. But can late night abide a host that's truly not just funny, but dare I say, interesting?
Well, Rush Limbaugh declared that CBS was declaring war on Middle America by even hiring him at all. I don't know what arrangements they made, but I don't think that Colbert is ready to sell his soul.
Well, late night, well, I don't want to say late night has a habit of doing that for people. Brooke, you were a guest on Colbert at one point.
Yeah, I had written a comic book, History of the Media, in which I appeared variously as Medusa or in The Matrix or Spider-Man. I was a puppy dog. I was a reporter in every major war. But mostly my primary character was that of a radio reporter. And he said, you know, why of all the things you could be, did you choose to be an NPR reporter, is what he called me. Of course, I'm a WNYC reporter.
Of course.
And I didn't say, but I wish I could have said, I would ask the same of you. Why this role? I think he used his powers for good. He would have these guests on his show, which he would appear to skewer, but they were people who were doing good things, running charitable organizations, groups he would never have heard of. All the money he ever raised went to charity. I mean, this guy was a Christian in the sort of fundamental sense of the word, in that he was full of that sort of spirit of giving back, and he did it in character.
And as an interviewer, I'll say that Stephen Colbert had an unbelievable ability through his character and playing sort of an arch evil person to bring out the very best in his guests. I would say Brooke Gladstone, host and managing editor of On the Media. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.